May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We all have a few fish stories. You know the kinds of stories I mean. Fish stories. Those types of stories that are maybe not about actual fish, but they're the stories that are good stories, so they get told over and over again. And they get embellished a little bit each time. Maybe the first time you tell the story, the fish was this big. And the next time it's this big. And 5 years later when you tell the story, the fish is this big. Fish stories. We all have a few of fish stories. Well, my grandpa was a good storyteller, and he was an especially good teller of fish stories. He did like to fish, so sometimes they were literal fish stories about the big one that got away. But a different story was about how he and his friends had staged the first ever college protest on their college campus. Now, that seemed a little bit unbelievable to me for a number of reasons, especially because the reason for the college protests was to get a later curfew in the girls' dormitory. A little unbelievable. Other stories he told were about remarkable things he and his friends did as kids, buildings they jumped off of, or crazy risks that they took, and somehow they always ended up without a scratch. Seemed a little too good to be true. Fish stories. And each time he told one of these stories, at some point near the end, as if on cue, my dad, his son, would say, "Oh, come on now, that didn't really happen. Stop telling kids these stories. That didn't really happen." But my grandpa would always reassure us, "Of course it did. Of course it did." As the disciples look back on the story of their life, the gospel story that we read today may have been one of those fish stories. The disciples' fishing profession differs from our experience of fishing today. For them, it was not a hobby, not even a job that they had to show up to. It was a complete and total way of life. Fishing dictated the rhythm of life for these fishermen. When they slept, when they got up, when they could eat and rest and go to work. But more than that, being a fisherman in their time and place made them a part of the economy of the Roman Empire that ruled over all of them. The Roman Empire was highly, highly regulated. It controlled both land and sea with an iron fist. It controlled how many fish they could claim at a time, where they needed to take them to market, how they could take them to market, the taxes they would have to pay on the fish, and the price they could charge for the fish. It dictated how they lived and what they had to live on, the entirety of life for them and their families. So the disciples, you might imagine, are out just a little ways from shore in a boat, out fishing. It's early morning, and they're just casting the net around one more time to see what they might get. It hasn't been a great night. They're hoping for a few more fish. When suddenly, this guy calls out to them from shore, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And like any good fish story, the next part seems just too remarkable to be true. They drop their net, leave their dad sitting in the boat, and immediately follow him. They leave this entire way of life that they've known behind in a moment, in an instant, and they follow. You might hear their son's voice pipe up here as they're telling the story. "Oh, come on, Dad, that didn't really happen." And they would say, "Of course it did. Of course it did." Jesus' calling of Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John is unbelievable enough to sound like one of our fish stories. And maybe the details did get embellished as the story was told over years. Maybe they at least gave one another just like a sidelong glance before they took off after this Jesus guy. But when Jesus shows up on that shore calling to them, It's no small interruption. Calling them away from their nets disrupts everything that they have known. It changes their entire reality. It uproots their sense of purpose and belonging. It is a total transformation of life as they know it. Jesus calls them away from the rhythm of life that fishing dictates and the economy that Rome imposes because the story tells us a new kingdom has arrived. The good news of his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, has come near. But Jesus doesn't just pull them away from their life. He doesn't just take away the life they've known without offering them anything else. He gives them a new hope, a new purpose, a new plan. He invites them to follow, to trust in him and God and the good news of the kingdom. He invites them to put their skills and talents to a new use and to fish instead for people. Jesus called the disciples away from the lives they had known to a new reality. And so does Jesus call to us, disciples in his church today. Jesus disrupts the ways that we have known too. The disruption might be changes in our community that has changed around us while so many things at St. Stephen's have stayed the same. A disruption is life as we know it, as we see new people in our neighborhoods, hear new languages spoken, experience new grocery stores and restaurants as they pop up around the corner. This disruption might be declining church attendance across the country, a trend that actually began all the way back in the 1960s. It's not all too new. As baby boomers began to leave the church, many never to return with their millennial children. No longer can the church count on people's loyalty or automatic participation in the life of faith the same way we once used to. No longer are Sunday mornings off of work a given or an expectation for families with activities. It is a disruption of the life the church has known, in the United States at least, for many, many decades. This disruption might be a change within ourselves. We watch those who have sat beside us in pews pass from this life to the next, and we wonder. We ourselves experience illness or aging and can't do the same things we once always did. We go through trials and challenges and difficulties, deep sorrows in our life that seem to pull us away from church or God or the faith we used to know. Disruptions like these interrupt life as we have known it. They interrupt life as the church has known it. But still, Jesus calls to us, follow me. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. Follow me and I will give you a new hope. Follow me and see the kingdom of heaven come near. Follow me and experience the new life God can offer, even after change and death and disruption. Maybe especially after change and death and disruption. Amid all the transitions of life, Jesus continues to call. Jesus calls us away from the total life that we have known. Jesus calls us away from ourselves. Jesus calls us into even deeper relationship with God and with one another. As Paul seeks to remind the Corinthians in the letter we heard read today, Jesus calls us together as a people in pairs from our nets, or as a community baptized into Christ. Jesus calls us to a new plan, a new purpose, and a new hope. The only question now is, what will our fish story be? What will be the great fish story of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church that we're telling in a few years? What will we do here at St. Stephen's that just sounds too remarkable to be true? Will we follow immediately? Will we bring in a fish that's this big? What will we do here in the name of God that makes future generations pipe up and say, come on now, guys, that didn't really happen? And we can say, of course it did. Of course it did. For the calling of the disciples and for our own callings, as unknown as they sometimes are, thanks be to God. Amen.